for me, weaving and things like that are really meditative. That's my calm. I can pick it up. There can be all kinds of chaos in the background, but that's something I just do. I get a picture and then I just start working on it. But sometimes I get halfway through and go, oh, that's a different picture. We're going this way now. And then I go back and do the first one later. But with driftwood and antlers, you can't necessarily make that determination because they determine so much of your finished shape, you know, how the weight will play out once you start forming a shape. So sometimes your image shifts a little. And I think that's part of the fun.
That's Shannon Lucas Westrom. She's a modern day basket weaver. Her one-of-a-kind sculptural basketry creations have inspired an upcoming adventure to study traditional weaving techniques in Ireland.
I have been a maker since I literally was a little kid. My coloring box, they were sorted by color and shade, one end to the other. And I, even as a kid, would start finding people and saying, hey, I really want to learn how to make that. The neighbor lady taught me to crochet because I asked her to. And I made my grandma teach me to knit. Jewelry making, I actually did do some classes at the tech. I was going to BSU, but I took night classes at the tech so I could make jewelry. And then, you know, I did beadwork, a lot of Ojibwe arts in high school. Life got really busy for a while, and I still made small things, you know, a little embroidery project there, a little weaving on a weekend here. But I can't remember which one of my daughters it was, but one of them picked up this huge silver pendant that I had made. I think it's about 5-inset gemstones, great texture. It's about 3 inches tall. And one of the girls said, where did this come from? And so I made that. And they said, you can't make that. And I thought, oh, hold up. And I realized that they weren't conscious of the fact that they could make all of these things. It would never have occurred to me to not make stuff. But our life had gotten so busy that they weren't. They weren't realizing that we could do that. So I said, from here on out, we don't buy decorations. We only make them. And, you know, we did a mass exodus and said, okay, we need to clean this out and think about where did it come from and why. And so now it's great because the girls have Etsy shops. And I got a call one day that said, Mom, I really need to learn how to needle felt. And I said, I've never done that. I don't know how to do that. So, of course, we found Jane Kallstrom and said, hi, Jane. How do we felt?
Currently, anyway, your artistic voice is these baskets.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've actually been a weaver for almost 20 years. But it was kind of bits and pieces when I had time and something that I always wanted to have more time to do. And there's two things that I really do a lot of emphasis in. One is the basket weaving. The other one is kind of gemstone jewelry. And actually, they work together a lot. Both of them are manipulating shapes, and, you know, sometimes I merge them together. I've woven baskets out of straps from big 2x4 bundles and out of, you know, paper. And you know. Wire is really cool to weave out of. Birch bark, of course, things like that. So I don't know, I like to see what you can do and what you can make out of it.
So when you have a great idea, do you write it down somewhere? Or?
I have a really, really hideous sketchbook because I honestly don't draw well. But I can draw enough to trigger my memory for the picture in my head. So that's what I do. I just, if anyone looked at it, it looks like a kindergarten scribbled. But I know what it is, and I actually have a very clear picture in my head of how it's going to turn out. The ability for me to draw it is not really there.
You speak your own language, and that's all that matters. You find things and create baskets out of them?
Well, sort of. I started off, you know, doing a lot of stuff with antlers, because antlers have a really interesting organic shape that you can kind of build off of. And I used to do a lot of flat reed weaving, but I realized I really, really hate putting the rims on them. Just something I don't like to do. I've reached this point in the basket, I want to be done. And then one day I kind of went, oh, wait a minute. You don't have to do that if you don't want to. And so now I just find interesting shapes and sort of play with them. And I did a lot of antler for a long time. And that's mainly what I did last year for my big craft council show. And then some of the feedback, you know, some people are kind of freaked out by antlers.
Really?
Yep. I actually got that a lot in the cities. So I said, okay, well, there's more interesting organic shapes that we can play with. And so the girls and I have been doing a lot of time beachcombing Lake Superior and Lake Bemidji when they did the new park and things like that. And so we just found some really cool pieces of driftwood. I've got some that are like great big beaver chews that are going to be sculptural pieces. And so I've got a lot going there, too.
I'm talking with Shannon Lucas Westrom. She is a weaver. Shannon, you've brought in a basket here that has a unique base.
So this is a root.
Yeah, this is a tree root, driftwood tree root. So,
okay.
And the cool part with driftwood is super light. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they weigh nothing. You can pack a whole bunch of them together, but The root especially I thought was fun because you could create this kind of growing thing out of it.
Very cool. Do you have specific materials that you like to weave with?
This is rattan and seagrass. And seagrass is really fun because it's rope-like, but it acts like leather almost. When you get it wet, it's got a whole different texture to it. And also, I've been experimenting a little bit with twisting my own cordage, which I've done a little bit with just long grasses and things like that, or basswood. That's kind of fun. But, you know, something like willow takes 4 or 5 days a lot of times to soak. And so in my world, I have to plan ahead a lot for that.
Okay. That's all part of the process?
Yes. Yep. And rattan, you can soak it for 10, 15 minutes, depending on what you're soaking. So my go-to is usually rattan because it's quicker, a little bit easier to get into. And then, you know, when I have a schedule, then I have to do that, schedule my time to do the willow weaving, then that requires, you know, soaking in sometimes a 6-foot tub or two. But I figure I'll learn more about that when I'm in Ireland. Actually, just I've been doing willow 2 or 3 years now and the rattan for the last 20. So that's where it's exciting sort of to pick up more of the willow.
So you draw a picture.
Sketch. Let's call it a sketch.
Well, you draw a sketch and then you start thinking about your materials and you soak those materials.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to build.
Yep. Exactly. Yep.
The wet.
And sometimes, depending on the shape, I'll actually get it started wet and then let it dry. If it has a big frame in it of some sort that you're going to go back and weave over. I like those pieces mostly dry if I've got my shape set.
Okay.
So sometimes it'll take a couple of days to get the shape that I want, and we go from there.
It's fascinating. They are very architectural.
Aren't they fun?
Yeah.
I've had mathematicians come in and sort of analyze, and one guy that I talked to was a college professor, and he said, there's so much mathematics in weaving. And I said, well, it's interesting in my perspective to see it from a, you know, sort of an abstract sculptural sort of a point of view versus, you know, a very symmetrical piece. And he said, well, there's still math in it. And it was a really interesting conversation. He came out to one of the studio cruises for a couple different years just to see how things changed and do his own analysis. That was really cool.
Yeah, well, these pieces, they're so organic. What the baskets are built off of, that there's a whole kind of weight balance that's happening.
The driftwood pieces are both super organic and a little bit traditional feeling at the same time, because I do a lot of rib construction, herb baskets and things like that, that you recognize the forms of, but because you're using the driftwood, it just adds that extra fun curve or extra something to flow around, I guess. In my weaving, I'm really big on flow, what makes it curve around, and I don't ever weave anything real linear anymore.
Right.
At all, if you think, I don't.
Well, that's become your style.
Yeah, it really is. I like curves. I like the flow. And
tell me about this basket weaving family adventure.
I'm really intrigued by the idea of an artist residency. Most residencies obviously are designed for single people. So I started researching residencies I could bring the kids with. What can the kids do with me? And I found 3 appropriate residencies that I thought, okay, this is something as a family would work. I would definitely still get a new environment to work in. And we could do it together. And 2 of them were in the States, and 1 was a castle in Ireland. And the Ireland trip has sort of been a pilgrimage for me that I've been planning for a long time anyway. And there's a gentleman in Ireland named Joe Hogan who literally in the 80s wrote the book on historical weaving in Ireland and taught himself the craft, traditional practices and traditional weaving patterns and all those sorts of things through his research. And he also went from there into very abstract, these great fun pods and really organic looking shapes that are sort of what I'm trying to do with some of my work. And he's been part of New York Fashion, or not New York, but London Fashion Week. He made these really, really fantastic hats. They sort of look like bird's nests almost. Really abstract, fun shapes. And the models all were wearing these great hand-woven hats. And it's so awesome to see craft used in something like that, you know, because traditional crafts are drifting. Mm-hmm. That you don't see them often anymore, and to see them really in the public light like that is kind of amazing.
Yeah, and with a modern twist,
right? Yeah. So exciting. He's done these great shows, and this guy that lives in this, you know, cottage out in rural Galway, known worldwide for his weaving techniques, and now his son also teaches, and his name is Kieran. When I first learned about Joe, I sent him a number of messages and said, how can I work with you? And he said, well, I'll be in the States. I'll be at this thing in July, so you don't have to come all the way to Ireland. And it turns out there was no way to get into his U.S. class. It was just, you know, waiting list. And so I said, okay, well, we're going to figure this out. So I've been in correspondence with him for a couple of years, actually. So I applied for grants a couple of times with the intention of going to work with Joe. And he supplied me with a list of full-time weavers in Ireland with what's really fun, little comments. Feedback on their skills and that sort of, what are they, what's their specialty? It was a really fantastic list, 4 pages long. And so I went, okay, I have a plan. And I submitted to the residency this plan that I'm going to work with a handful of Irish weavers and then learn from them and go back and sort of reinforce that. And so in June or July, I got the acceptance into the residency program. And I thought, well, winter would be a great time for us to go because we're from Bemidji anyway. Mm-hmm. So a rainy Ireland, I think we can probably, we'll probably be fine. And it was a time where I thought, okay, can everybody get away? Even if my husband could get away for a while, that would be a time frame that he could go. Applied for my grants again. And this time I also had the residency behind me and a couple more years of experience. And it just all clicked. And then I was awarded through Region 2 the fellowship for this year with the intention again of going to Ireland and weave. So that's really going to enable me to not only do, I'm doing 4 days each with Kieran Hogan and Joe Hogan. And they're near Galway. And then I'm going to, there's a couple people near Kilkenny. And that's where our residency is actually in a place called Shankill Castle. And that is just, I think it's about a half hour outside of Kilkenny. So it turns out we're all four going. And while I work, the rest of the family's going to wander the hills and sort of soak it in. And yeah, it'll be really amazing. And the cool part is that I've got that time to go back to the studio, rework the techniques. Heaven knows what we're going to have to ship back.
Right. Well, when I think of Willow, I think of bigger pieces.
Yeah, and the cool thing about Willow is that Willow, as a basket weaving material, is solid. It feels like furniture. When you've got a finished Willow basket, it feels like furniture. I'm hoping to have a dozen pieces to ship back before we come home.
When you were a kid, did you ever think you'd be, you know, adventuring around the hills of Ireland with your family? When you've envisioned your life, were those kinds of adventures part of it?
Actually, those are definitely part of the plan. Yep, they're actually have always been part of the plan. But then, you know, it's one of those things that you get busy and you sort of sideline it. And we do a lot of, you know, we family all over the state, so we spend a lot of time back and forth. But to do the big trips, we really haven't taken the time yet, and we found our window.
Mm-hmm. That's artist Shannon Lucas Westrom. She is weaving personal dreams into family realities with her creative spirit. I'm Katie Carter. You're listening to Area Voices on Northern Community Radio.